repentance prepares us to receive the ministry of Christ into our lives.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Time sure does fly sometimes, doesn't it? And this is hard to believe here now, but it's been almost seven years ago now, when one of our beloved senior saints, Lou Horwath, graduated to heaven. How many of you knew Lou and remember Lou? Yeah, he was quite a character, wasn't he? But, you know, I was just talking with B earlier this week, and we were talking about Lou and his home going then. And one of the things that we talked about Lou is if you knew him at all, one of his characteristics was he was what we would call a scout or a forerunner. He was always the guy who was going up ahead of you, looking, scouting things out, preparing the way. I see some nodding heads there, right? If you were off, like we would go somewhere, he'd be going out, he'd be finding what's in the store, finding the bargain for you. Come, take a look at this, right? So he loved to prepare the way ahead of you, to scout things out for you, to get you ready for what was coming up next here then. And today then, we're going to talk about someone who prepared the way as well, preparing the way for Jesus. That was John the Baptist, also John the Baptizer. Baptizer, Baptist, I'm not sure how Baptizer became Baptist, maybe because it's in the scriptures. That's probably why it says John the Baptist there, right? But he is also known as the Baptizer here. And he prepared the way. He kind of scouted ahead here for Jesus, and he prepared the way for the coming of Jesus, the arrival of the Messiah and the King. You know, in those days, whenever a king was going to come into a particular town or country, there would be those forerunners who would go ahead to prepare the way. They would prepare the roadway to smooth it out. So the king had a nice smooth ride into town then, and to announce his coming to the people there. Well, Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior. He is the King. He is the King of all the universe. And now he was coming to his people. And so John was called then and anointed to be the one who would prepare the way. But his preparation wasn't out preparing roads. His preparation was a preparation of preparing hearts to receive the arrival of the Messiah and the King then. So today, then, we are continuing in our series on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, looking at the baptizer and the baptism. Again, get your fingers ready to do a little walking in the scriptures there. I just realized I'm showing my age when I say that, let your fingers do the walking. See, kids, there used to be this thing called a telephone book or yellow pages, and it was this big, thick book that had everybody's home landline number in, right? And you would go through there, and somebody said, let your fingers do the walking through that to look things up in the yellow pages for businesses there. So just bringing everybody up to speed, so now we all know what we're talking about here. How many of you remember, let your fingers do the walking, right? Okay, that's right. So anyway, then, you're going to let your fingers do the walking through the scriptures if you have one of these things, which is called a book with paper. Or you may have a screen, you let your fingers do the swiping now, right? That's the updated version. Let your fingers do the swiping here, as we will be looking at Mark chapter 1, Matthew chapter 3, and Luke 3, about the ministry of John the Baptizer and the baptism of Jesus Christ. And here is the main idea, the theme that I want us to take away from our message here today, which is that repentance prepares us to receive the ministry of Christ into our lives. You know, John was announcing this coming of Messiah to the Jewish people. Now, he wasn't only the Messiah of the Jewish people, he was for all people, but he was called to announce to the nation the coming of their king and to prepare through repentance for his coming. Well, in the same way, though, we need to prepare for the ministry of Christ into our lives. And it begins with repentance. Repentance prepares us then, too, to receive the ministry of Christ into our lives. And so we'll be looking today then at the baptizer and the baptism. The baptizer is John the Baptizer. But then also the baptism, looking at the baptism of Jesus. And you might wonder, why in the world was Jesus baptized anyway? He never committed any sin. Why was he baptized? Well, we're going to look at that as well. So the baptizer and the baptism. First off, the baptizer, John the Baptist. Here are our scriptures that we'll be looking at. We'll be looking in Mark chapter 1, in Matthew chapter 3, in John chapter 1, and in Luke chapter 3, all about the ministry of John the Baptizer there. And just a reminder then, too, if you want, there are some sermon notes, sheets of paper on the back table there that can help you then to kind of keep track of all these so you don't have to write quite as much if you like to take some notes on these things. So those are our scriptures for John the Baptizer. So let's take a look at this first one here found in Mark chapter 1. Mark doesn't give us a lot of detail. He just kind of cuts to the chase and gives us the basics here. Let's look what he says in Mark 1, verses 1 through 8. Remember, he didn't record the genealogy of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, any of that. He just cuts right to the ministry of the adult Jesus. So Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So Mark here gives us the basics of this ministry of John here. Let's go on to Matthew. He gives us a little more detail. In Matthew chapter 3, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now, John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. John tells us then, too, in his gospel, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" And John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even as he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." And these things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. It's quite a lot already there, right? All right, our final one then. Luke gives us the most detail then of this. And he says in Luke chapter 3, verse 1, "In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate became governor of Judea, and Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.' He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." In other words, what, folks? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And as the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, the Messiah, John answered them all, saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. So let's talk about the baptizer, John, here. I want us to see some points that we might take away from all that we have read there. What can we say about John the baptizer and about this ministry of his here that God had given him? First off, we see that John the baptizer, he was prophesied of by Isaiah. You know, the Word of God tells us in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, you notice that all of the Gospels mention that and quote that passage there in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, with also some allusion to a passage in Micah as well. But here was Isaiah in his ministry. It was about 700 years before the coming of Christ. And there was this prophecy that when the Messiah, the Christ, comes, there would be a forerunner, one who would go before to preach and to prepare the hearts of the people to receive their Messiah, to receive their King. So he said all of the gospel writers mention this and quote that there. But you'll notice then that in the scriptures that we have four different gospels, and there are some things that you will find in all four gospels, some that you may find in only one or two, some things that are unique then to each particular gospel. But this is one of those things you'll find in all of them, is the ministry of John the Baptizer then to prepare the hearts of the people for the coming of the King. So he was prophesied of, John was, some 700 years before in Isaiah here. But there is also then, some were wondering, are you Elijah? That question about that. There was also this prophecy that Elijah would come before the coming of Messiah. And what are we to make of that? What do the scriptures mean when it talks about that? But we'll talk about that in a little bit here. So John the Baptizer, he was prophesied of by Isaiah. John the Baptizer prepared the way for Messiah. Now, as I said, in those days when you would prepare the way for the arrival of a king, it was kind of a physical preparation by smoothing the physical roadway ahead for him to come into that town and then announcing to the people to come out and to be ready to greet him and welcome him. Well, John then being called to prepare the way, it wasn't a physical road. It was what? It was a spiritual road. And making the way smooth for that arrival then, again, wasn't something you would do with physical tools, but you did it through repentance, through confession of sin, preparing your heart for the arrival of the Messiah, of the King. So he prepared the way by challenging people's hearts to repent. Now, when we use that word repent, it means what? It literally means it's a change of mind. When you repent of something, it is a change of mind, a change of thinking about something that results in a change of life. So repentance, a change of mind that results in a change of life. Repentance isn't just feeling bad. You may feel badly about what you've done, and you may be very sorrowful for it, but if there's no real change in thinking that results in a change in your life, that's not repentance. That's just feeling bad about it, right? So repentance is a change in thinking that recognizes something for the sin that it is, for the offense that it is, and changes your thinking about it, resolves then to say, I will not do that, and turning away from it and turning in a different direction. And then bearing the fruit of repentance means it shows in our lives then. And that is repentance. So John was telling people to prepare the way for Messiah's coming by repenting, changing their mind about their sin, confessing their sin, turning away from it, being ready to receive the ministry of Messiah King Jesus. Repentance and faith then ultimately in Jesus. So the baptizer then prepared the way for Messiah. He also then came in the spirit and power of Elijah. So we said here, we remember we saw the reference there to how he was dressed and what he ate. Kind of unusual clothing here. We've got some of you who like to dress a little strangely sometime, but I've never seen any of you in clothing like Elijah's. Some of you have kind of strange dietary habits here, but anybody here eat locusts? Anybody like to eat locusts? I know we have some people who like honey. Who eat honey. In fact, we've even got somebody in our church that has a hive and brings honey to us sometimes here in bottles right here. So we've got maybe some people who like honey, but I doubt too many people that like locusts. But the fact is, locusts are a great source of protein, by the way. So I'm not encouraging you to eat them, you know, but they are a great source of protein, I hear. So he had kind of strange clothing and strange diet. Why? Because that was what Elijah did. Elijah wore those clothes. Elijah had a strange diet like that too. And so what John was doing then is he was alluding to the ministry of Elijah, because Scripture had prophesied that Elijah would come before the King, the Messiah, to announce. And so they were looking for Elijah. So here's John, and he does this. Now, you might wonder, well, wait a minute here. John, we just read there, he was asked if he was John, if he was Elijah, and he said, no, he's not. But a little later on, we read in the Gospels, Jesus says, yes, he was. Now, was Jesus or John confused about the identity of Elijah? John says he's not. Jesus says he is. Which one is right? And the answer is yes. Both of them are right. Why? Because John was not claiming to be literal Elijah. He wasn't literal Elijah. But he did come, as Jesus speaks of him then. Jesus didn't say that John was literal Elijah, but he says he was the Elijah that the scripture prophesies is coming, as the one who comes in the spirit and power of Elijah. And in that sense, yes, he is Elijah. In fact, Jesus had very complimentary words to say about John, didn't he? He said that what of those born among women, no one is greater than John. And so this clothing, this diet indicate that he is Elijah, not literally, but in the spirit and power of Elijah. The baptizer then proclaimed a baptism of repentance. As we said, what repentance isn't just feeling bad about your sin. Repentance is changing your thinking about it and turning away from it, and results in fruit or a change of life. So it's repentance, a change of mind, that results in a change of life. I think it's important to us to understand that for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that true faith in Jesus, true saving faith in Jesus, understands there is repentance, isn't there? When we believe, when we come to put our trust in Jesus Christ, we repent of our sins. It's repentance and faith. We're turning away from sin, and we're putting our trust in Christ, in what he has done for us. We're turning away from self-reliance, turning away from sin, and we're putting our trust in Jesus Christ, in his perfect life, in his substitutionary death and resurrection. So repentance and faith, they go together then, don't they? That our understanding of that grows over time, doesn't it? That believing in Jesus, repentance, it's not a one-time deal, is it? It is an ongoing thing. Repentance is a daily thing. If you're me, you're repenting constantly. Anybody else here constantly repenting, right? It is a way of life. So there is repentance and faith in Christ, but there is ongoing, a daily repentance and faith as well then. So John, though, he proclaimed a baptism of repentance, saying what? Change your mind and change your life then about your sin in order to prepare the way, to prepare your heart to receive the Messiah, the King. So it was a baptism of repentance, confession of sin. Another thing we would say about him is that he created quite a stir among the people. John was baptizing in the River Jordan just outside of Jerusalem, out in the wilderness there, in the desert there. And I have been, thank you once again for that wonderful trip to Israel that you gave me, but I have been to that spot, the traditional spot where it was believed that John was. Now, was it the exact spot? We don't know, of course, but pretty close to it there. And I tell you, the Jordan River, we would call it a muddy creek, really. You know, everything in Israel, that they use bigger words than the words we would use it. You know, like, for example, what they call a river, we might call a stream or a creek, right? What they call a mountain, we would call a hill, you know, things like that. So in the Jordan River, there's this muddy creek or muddy stream, if you will, out in the wilderness, down from Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was up, right? It was up in the mountains, and you would come down the mountain into the desert wilderness along the Jordan River Valley there. And that's where John was baptizing. And so you had people in Jerusalem all coming down there to him. And in the whole region of Judea, they were going to see this character and this challenging message that he had, this exciting message that he had, saying what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That Messiah was here. This long-awaited Savior King was coming. and they needed to prepare for him. But in preparing for him, he called them to do something that would have been a little strange to their Jewish ears. Because baptism was not unknown among the Jews. They would do this, but it was more like a ceremonial washings. They would do ceremonial washings of themselves. And they would also then, there was a baptism for Gentiles who would come to faith in the true and the living God. They would be baptized, but they would baptize themselves, if you were. Someone didn't actually baptize. They would baptize themselves. And it represented a ceremonial washing and cleaning and faith in the true God of Israel. So Gentiles were baptized. And now here's John. He's telling Jews to be baptized, and he's doing it. What is this all about? This was creating quite a stir. Excitement about this coming of Messiah King, but also then telling Jews to do something that they thought they didn't need to do. Because they said, what? We're already, what? We're children. That's why you see, we're children of Abraham. What do you mean? We're good. We're children of Abraham. We don't need to do this. But he says, what? God could raise up children of Abraham from these stones if he wanted to, because the real children of Abraham aren't just physical descendants of Abraham. They are what? Spiritual children who have the faith of Abraham. The children of God are in the heart. It's by faith. It isn't just biology. It's the heart, isn't it? And so repentance then was a way of publicly acknowledging your turning from sin and your embrace of God's truth and God's Messiah, God's Savior. So this created a great stir among the people then. The baptizer, he also humbled himself before the Messiah. Says what? He was not worthy to untie the Messiah's sandals. You see his humble attitude then as well. You know, John was a popular figure. Everybody's coming to you. And there, some were even wondering, hey, are you the guy? Are you the Christ? He says, oh, no. I'm not the Christ. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. You see his humble attitude then. He proclaimed the eternality of Messiah. The fact that Messiah is eternal. Eternal God. How? Where did you get that in the scriptures? Well, I remember John was confirmed. They asked, are you the Christ? He says, oh, no, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. He is greater than I. Why? Because he was before me. Now, if you go back and you read there, who was older chronologically? John the Baptist was older than Jesus by about 6 months, right? John was born before Jesus. So did John get confused? You know, and think, oh, wait a minute. Jesus was before me. No, because he knew that Jesus was the eternal Son of God. He says he ranks higher, he's greater than me, because before he was before me, he was recognizing that he was the eternal Son of God. So he proclaimed the eternality of Messiah then. He ranks before me because he was before me. He's eternal. The baptizer warned people then to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Remember, we said real repentance is not just feeling bad about your sin. It's a change of mind that results in a change of life. And by the way, can you genuinely repent of something but then get tempted and fall back into that sin again? Of course you can. That's why repentance is an ongoing way of life, isn't it, here? But to say someone has repented of something and there's absolutely no change whatsoever in their life, well, that's not real repentance, though, is it? So he warned them to bear fruit in keeping the repentance. Let's see the life change. And we saw how Luke then records some specific examples of bearing fruit in keeping the repentance. Real life change then. The baptizer then proclaimed that he would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. John baptized with water, but the Messiah, he would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit, do you know, when you put your trust in Christ, you're baptized by, with, and in the Holy Spirit. That you are given the Holy Spirit who takes up residence within you, dwells within you. For how long? All your life? Yes. When you die, does he go away then? No. Forever. He will forever indwell you. So you are baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, you have a new capacity of spirit empowerment that you didn't have before when you're baptized by Jesus into by the Holy Spirit. But it also says fire. Fire in Scripture is emblematic of judgment. And so there is a judgment, and there's an inevitable judging or separation that occurs as well. So John baptized with water, but the Messiah, he baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That is, he judges and he separates out true and false belief. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then finally, then, the baptizer was imprisoned by Herod. Now, if you're John, you might be thinking, you know, you're going out, you're doing, you're being faithful, you're obeying, you're doing all this. And what do you get for all of your efforts? You get thrown in prison. And so now we'll get to this when we get a little later. I love how the Scriptures records the raw honesty of people's experiences and how they feel. This caused John at one point to even kind of wonder and say, Jesus, you are the Messiah, right? I got this right. But he wasn't expecting this. In fact, not only was he imprisoned, what eventually happened to him? He got his head cut off. We don't know what the results of our faith and obedience will be practically in this world, do we? Sometimes it may be what we would like. Sometimes it's not. But God calls us to faith and obedience. And I guarantee you that whatever may happen in this life, God remembers and God will reward, won't he? Absolutely. So there's the baptizer. Quickly then, the baptism of Jesus. There's our passages in Luke 3, Mark 1, John 1, and Matthew 3. Some shorter passages here. Let's see what Luke says about it in Luke 3. It says, "Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased.'" Mark tells us, "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased.'" And John tells us the next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him. This is John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.'" Finally, then Matthew. "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?' But Jesus answered him, 'Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Few quick points about the baptism of Jesus here. First off, the baptism was administered by a reluctant John. Can you see how John might have been a little reluctant? Here he is, he's proclaiming this. He knows here is Messiah, and he knows that Jesus is God in the flesh. He knows he has no sin to confess. Remember, his baptism was a baptism of repentance from sin, changing your mind about sin and bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. And here comes the Messiah, the Son of God, the perfect one, and says, baptize me? Can you see how John might be, what? A little confused? And say, you should be baptizing me. Right? So there's a little bit of a mystery there. Well, why in the world? You should baptize me. But Jesus tells him to do it, and he obeys then, because Jesus says it was necessary for him to be baptized. So again, did Jesus need to repent of sin? Absolutely not. So why engage in a baptism of repentance from sin? He says it was to fulfill all righteousness. Translation, when Jesus came into this world, he came to be your representative and my representative, right? He came to represent sinful people. And sinful people, when he identified with us, he took our sin upon himself, didn't he? He did not commit sin, but he took the weight and the guilt of sin upon himself, yours and mine, all of us, right? And so what he was doing, I think, in doing it, he was identifying with sinful people. He was identifying with you and me, and he was being baptized, not because he had sinned, but because you have and I have. And he identifies with us by repentance and that baptism there. Not for himself, but for you and for me. And I think that's what Jesus means when he says it is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. I must repent. You must repent. Jesus repented for us in that, in identifying with us to fulfill all righteousness. But then one final point about the baptism. The baptism beautifully pictures the Trinity, doesn't it? How you see Father and Son and Holy Spirit all involved in this critical moment at the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus Christ. He is baptized here. I think there was another thing that happened. Not only was he identifying with us and the fulfillment of all righteousness, but you notice it was at this point then, as he was baptized, then that the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Not a literal dove, but like a dove coming down upon him, right? And a voice from heaven says, "What? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So you see, the Son, here is the voice of the Father, the Son is in the water, and the Spirit descends upon him like a dove. The Spirit descended upon him and rested upon him. And the Spirit guided and directed and empowered Jesus in his earthly ministry. You might say, well, Jesus is the Son of God. Why does he need the Spirit to empower him and direct him? Well, Jesus was indeed and is the Son of God, but he is also what? Human. He's man. And the Holy Spirit empowered the man, filled the man, Jesus, guided him and directed him. Again, he's our representative. You and I need to repent, don't we? You and I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't we? You and I need the guiding and empowerment of the Spirit. Jesus did those things for us, too, as our representative, but as our example as well, as our example. You see this beautiful picture of the Trinity then. So again, baptism. The baptism of John was a baptism of repentance, turning from sin. But you and I then, we're living kind of post-John's baptism. We still need to repent, but we don't engage in John's baptism. Rather, we are baptized into Jesus. The baptism of John, repentance. Baptism into Jesus is Through repentance from sin and faith in Christ, we are identified, brought into union with Christ in his life, death, and resurrection. Right? And that is why, and again, we know that that Christians have some different beliefs about baptism, you know, what it is. Remember, there is spiritual baptism, and then there is like a literal physical baptism, which is an outward picture of an inner spiritual truth, right? But the baptism of Jesus, or the baptism into Jesus, is a spiritual baptism into his life, death, and resurrection. And so when we baptize someone now, we go into that water, and we baptize someone in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a physical representation of their cleansing from their sin through the blood of Jesus, but then also their union with him in his life, in his death as they go under the water, and his resurrection as they come up out of the water then. So the baptism into Jesus is union with him in his life, death, and resurrection, and that comes through good works. No, it comes through faith. Faith in him, then. So the baptism of John, the baptism into Jesus, and you. Have you repented of sin and put your faith and trust in Christ, been baptized by Jesus into Jesus, the Holy Spirit baptism, then? Identification with his life, death, and resurrection. Well, so what do you want me to do with this here today? Well, I'd remind us that repentance prepares us to receive the ministry of Christ into our lives. John preached repentance to the people in order for them to prepare them for the coming of Messiah and King Jesus. I want to challenge us here today that repentance prepares us to receive the ministry of Christ in salvation, right? Repenting of sin and salvation. And I believe many of us here have received Christ into our lives and believed in him. But I want to challenge you here today, for as we continue in our series here on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I wonder, what does Jesus Christ want to minister into your heart and to your life through our time here together? As we gather and we listen to his word, as we see his ministry, as we listen to his words, as we watch his actions and what they tell us about him, what does Jesus want to say to you through this? What does he want to do in your life? How many of you believe Jesus has a lot more to do in your life? I know he has a lot more to do in my life, right? I want to challenge you then with that to think about that. Well, how can we prepare ourselves to receive the ministry of Christ into our lives, what he wants to say to us through this here? By opening up our hearts, by an attitude of ongoing repentance, preparing to receive his ministry to us. So what should we do today? So what? Repent. It's not a one-time deal, is it? It's a way of life. Believe. Trust in Christ. And then what? Keep on repenting and believing. Repentance is a way of life. Believing is a way of life. This is how we prepare ourselves for the ministry of Christ to come into our lives. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that through his perfect life, his substitutionary death, and his victorious resurrection, we too can have life. We can have forgiveness of sin, the gift of eternal life, and the hope then, hope for our lives here and now. God, I pray that we would be prepared to receive the ministry of Christ into our lives. First, perhaps for someone who has not trusted in Christ as Savior, Lord, that your Spirit would convict them, that they would turn, change their mind about their sin, turn away from that, turn away from self-sufficiency or self-reliance, and put their trust in you, Lord Jesus, in your perfect life, death, and resurrection. But then, Lord, all of us then, all who believe, we know that repentance is a way of life. Lord, may we be prompt, quick to obey you when your Spirit puts your finger on something in our life that's not right. That we would listen to you, that we would repent of that, and that we would continue to trust in you. Not only for our initial salvation, but to continue, Lord, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we're eager to see what you're going to do in our lives through this. So we prepare for you now then today, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.